Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Rich Wilson. Welcome to Wednesday night, our midweek podcast. It's 7:30 on the East Coast. Was planning on doing it at 9 or 10 and decided to do it a little bit earlier so I could have the rest of the evening to myself. If you're new to the show, welcome. We usually do a full-blown fantasy podcast on Sunday evenings, myself and the great Tim McLeod. And we've added a midweek podcast that we started this year only. And we do everything. It's usually topical-based. We've done a lot of under the radar or underperforming pitchers, underperforming hitters. We've done a lot of prospect talk. And today we're doing a lot of prospect talk. We're going to be discussing prospect361.com's mid-season top 50 lists. I think it's the first one that's out. And we're going to be kind of going through that. For those of you new to the show, that would be my list. So we'll be going through that in detail. We'll also just do a little bit of scouting news in terms of last night I got a chance to drive up to Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, which is about an hour and a half from my house. It's in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. We went through some amazing thunderstorms to get there. It was crazy with my wife and a gentleman, and we not very many people there, so we were able to do a lot of good scouting. Saw Aaron Judge, who, you know, it's funny, my wife's it's a baseball fan, not a huge baseball fan, not a scout by any stretch of the imagination, but Aaron Judge has the strangest swing ever. I mean, it's just a weird swing. He's got a little bit shorter arms. I'd always heard that, and I'd seen him a couple of times and didn't get it, but I've seen him now maybe 7 or 8, 9 games, and the guy has really short arms. And it really is accentuated because when he swings, he doesn't release his top hand. So he really swats at the ball. But he's got such massive power that it doesn't matter whether he gets a long swing or a short swing, he can hit the ball out of any ballpark because he's just a massive man. And it's fascinating. 6'7", maybe 6'8". He should have a long swing and strike out a lot, but he doesn't. It's pretty direct to the ball, which should help him make better contact, which it does. And again, with his massive power, it really counteracts that. There's a lot to like about him. But I got to tell you, it's a weird swing. It's hard to get your arms around because he sits up there and swats at the ball. So I asked my wife, I said, watch this guy. Tell me what you think of his swing. And she said, it looks like he's playing, it looks like a Chris Everett backhand. That's what she said. I remember Chris Everett back in the 70s had that two-handed backhand where she never took her hand off the ball at all. And I thought she was right because it looked strange. And it's, again, short to the ball, but I just don't know. I don't know how he has, I don't know how he can kind of make any adjustments at all to the ball when he's swinging like that. I've never seen anything quite like it. And I can't wait when he gets up to the major leagues sometime later this year, next year at the earliest, for everybody to see it because it's odd to say the least. But having said that, he's one of my top 50 prospects. He's really good. I think he's going to be very, very good. There's going to be 20 to 25, potentially more home run power. You know, he runs well. People in AAA just don't run. It's a lot of those guys have just given up. I mean, there's just, it seems like every other player that's on that team is been to the major leagues for a while and is just back waiting till they get the call. And they're mostly up and down players. They're playing the Cincinnati Reds, and I'll get to one prospect I saw there. But he'll be up later on. And so he wasn't running out balls, got a cannon for an arm. I've seen this a bunch of times. So that's Aaron Judge. And I think it's going to be very, very good. So if you have him in a dynasty league, somebody that I would definitely hold on to because he's doesn't have the aura about him as some of these other top prospects, just because he's always been down on most lists and my lists around 50 or so. But now as so many people are being promoted, he'll gradually move up. So his value isn't as high as it should be. So I think it's a guy that you probably need to hold on to. Another guy named Ruff Snyder, who's Rob Ruff Snyder, who's also a Yankee, that's gotten a lot of love here in New York. He's a good ball player. There's not a lot of power. There's not a lot of speed. He's a questionable defensive player. I've seen him play both the outfield and second base. Last night he was playing second base, I believe. One thing that was interesting, again, when you go with other people, and the guy I was sitting next to goes, boy, he looks Asian. And I looked at it, and sure enough, he looked Asian. And with Rob Ruff Snyder, I mean, what kind of, not very Asian at all. Turns out he's adopted, and he was actually born in South Korea, and it looks like he does have some Asian blood in him. So I'm sure that'll become one of Tim McLeod's favorite players. But Rob Ruff Snyder's a nice player. I don't think he's a Yankee. I mean, he's not going to be a guy that that he'll be able to break into the Yankee organization and the lineup. Is he better than Steven Drew? Possibly. But he's not, I don't think, a whole lot fantasy relevant. He'll be a Tommy La Stella type of contact guy with 5 to 10 home runs, 5 to 10 stolen bases. It basically a yawn unless you're in a AL-only type of league. The one guy in the Cincinnati Reds that just mystifies me is Yoermin Rodriguez. I've always been a huge Yoermin Rodriguez fan. He was drafted with 16 out of, I believe, the Dominican. He's now 22 years old, and it seems like he's been around forever, and he really has. I mean, he's been there for 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. That's 7 years. He's on the 40-man roster, came up for a cup of coffee last week. The guy flat out looks like a baseball player. That's the way it should look. He's 6'1"-ish. Probably 200 pounds, carries himself well, has that great athletic gait, can really make good contact when he wants to, does have bat speed. He hit a home run last night, got another base hit. But I don't know, man. There's something about the game, and every time I see him, I say the same thing. It just looks like he's doesn't put the level of effort out there that you'd like to see in a player. It's almost like he's resting on that incredible athleticism and the ability to kind of an innate ability to hit the ball. And I just don't know if he's ever going to live up to his potential, because the potential is a first division starter. There's no question. This guy has a chance to be, you know, a top 50, 60 outfielder in the game. So it'd be 45. So 3 times 15 is 45. So let's call it a top 50 outfielder in the game. I just don't know if he's got the want, the makeup, whatever you want to call it, to actually ever achieve that. But the skill sets are incredibly alluring. So if you got him on your fantasy team, and I know the great Marcus Potter has him in one of our dynasty leagues, I mean, you got to hold on to him because he's so close, and you have to believe that the Cincinnati Reds are eventually going to blow up that team, and he'll get his shot to play. But I don't know. I mean, I'm anxious for you guys to see. There is, I think, questionable on the field energy that I just think that he won't live up to his ceiling. Let's get into my top 50 prospects here. So let me kind of scroll over or bring up the page. And while I'm doing that, again, if you'd like to get a hold of me, the best way to do that is on the Twitter. Let's see. Oh, I don't have to go to, I'm just going to go to my site at Rich Wilson FSG, at Rich Wilson FSG. Of course, go out and visit Tim at Timothy LMC. Our Facebook page, everybody knows, prospect361.com, Dynasty League groups. You can go out there and check us out. It's a really, for those of you new to our podcast, I'm telling you, it's a really, really good Facebook page. I do very little. It's Tim and Alan Servinus, who's one of our listeners, who's become a good friend and is a maniac baseball fan. It just does a really good job at keeping the site clean and managing it well. And it's really, really good topical discussions. Of course, if you want to go out and rate and review us, do that. If you say mean things like Macro did, we'll tease you, but go and say whatever you want. And we appreciate it. And by the way, last week's show, last Sunday's show, I've been doing this podcast for 5.5 years. Hands down, my favorite podcast ever. I don't know what it was. It could have been Tim and his house falling apart as we're doing the podcast. I don't know what it was. There's something in the water, but it was just a really, really fun podcast. And usually we bring, I think, really good fantasy baseball and baseball relevant material. But when you throw in some of the crazy things that happened on last night's show, if you didn't laugh, and have a good time that we can't do any better. That's about as good as it gets. Some days we'll bring some really hopefully insightful fantasy baseball, but the combination of just goofiness and I think baseball talk was at a premium on Sunday, and I hope you enjoyed it. I know I got a lot of really positive feedback on the show, and I really appreciate that. So we're going to go from 50 to 1. Briefly talk, I'm not going to talk about every one of these baseball players. And also before we get off, I do want to talk to you. I did go out last weekend to see the Greenville Red Sox team play in Lakewood against the Philadelphia Low A team. So it was Low A baseball. And I do want to talk about some of the players I saw there, because that Greenville team is loaded with a couple of top 50 prospects. So maybe when I get to them, I will talk about that game. But at number 50, Michael Reed, outfielder with Milwaukee. Many of you have not heard of this player. You need to start putting him on your radar. Carlos Gomez will not be, in all likelihood, a Milwaukee Brewer for the entire next season. He's in his last year of his contract. The Brewers aren't a very good team. They can move him this year, I think, and get a mint for him. He could go in the offseason. And Michael Reed has a chance to move into that center field position, can really play outfield. When I wrote this a couple of weeks ago, he had a 901 OPS, 48 strikeouts, 26 walks, and 54 games in AA. Five home runs, 16 stolen bases, very athletic. Guy who makes really good contact. You know, I think a guy that's going to be able to stay in the lineup because of his ability to make contact and get on base. And I think there's 10 home runs, 20 plus stolen bases there. So a lot of people have not heard of Michael Reed. Get him on your radar, get him on your team, because he could be up sometime later this year if Carlos Gomez goes. And I think Gomez will go next year. And I think that's when you'll see Michael Reed. Trevor Story, as I wrote about him, I've seen him play, I don't know, four, five, six times. I do spend a lot of time in California, and I saw him a couple of years ago a lot in the California League, and I just didn't like him. Little guy, obviously shortstop, quick twitch, I'll give him that. I didn't see a ton of power. I did see the bat speed. I didn't see a ton of speed, but you can't deny what he's doing this year. 54 games, a 942 OPS, 8 home runs, 14 stolen bases. The problem is his contact rate's at 70%. The swing gets a little long. He is now in AA. He's, oddly enough, back on the East Coast, because Colorado has low A and double A on the East Coast, which is kind of weird. So I'll get a chance to see him at some point play Trenton in the Eastern League, and I'll be able to report on him. But for now, I got him at 49. Does that stick? I don't know. Never been all that impressed with Trevor's story, but you can't deny what he's doing. And I am hearing good reports about him. And, of course, with all the talk of Tulo, could Trevor's story eventually become kind of what Michael Reed will become for Carlos Gomez? I don't know. He's the completely different type of player. Not nearly the shortstop he is. Doesn't have the power, a little bit more speed, doesn't have the hit tool. So it's a huge step down from Troy Tulowitzki. But, you know, he's probably the shortstop of the future in Colorado at this juncture. It's going to be a big letdown for Colorado fans. And I got to see him again to see if he's going to be a letdown for fantasy owners. DJ Peterson has not had a very good year at 48. You can actually say Hunter Renfroe at number 41 is in the similar boat. These guys have massive raw power, and they both have done really bad. Hunter Renfroe has gotten a little bit better. In fact, he started to turn it around a little bit in June. He hit two home runs a couple of nights ago. I do like him a little bit better than DJ Peterson. I still think there's 20-25 home run power. He's got country raw power. What I mean by that, it's really a strength swing. There's bat speed, of course, but it's not elite bat speed. So he's getting most of his power just because he's strong. And there's going to be, you know, I think the chance of 20-plus power, even at Petco Park. But DJ Peterson, again, similar kind of player, first baseman, was a third baseman. They moved him to the first base. Somebody said, well, maybe he's struggling adopting to the first base. Yeah, let's give him that. I've never heard that before, but let's just say that he's struggling. But it's not been good. Double A, 56 games, a .206 batting average. And you could say his BABIP's low at .267. Again, we talk about batting average of balls and playing the major leagues. You can pretty much go that there is a range that your BABIT should be in, and that every player has their own BABIT. In the minor leagues, you can't do that. Not even a double A. Triple A, it's starting to look, you know, there's a lot more mimicking in the major leagues. But if you don't have a high batting average of balls in play, you're not hitting the ball hard in the minor leagues. So it's not uncommon to have elite players go through their minor league career and have a batting average of balls in play at 380, 370. And you go, well, gee, that's going to correct, and he's not going to hit 330. Well, no, but you want to see a high batting average of balls in play because you know they're making really solid contact, they're hitting the ball, because the pitchers aren't nearly at the quality that they are in the major leagues. And in fact, if you take a look, and I watched a ton of minor league games, obviously, and if you watch minor league baseball between major league baseball, my humble opinion, the biggest difference is the quality of pitching, and it's the command. It's the ability to throw quality strikes that you just do not see in the minor leagues. You don't even see it with guys like Lucas Giolito early in their career. Might be the best pitching prospect, but he struggles to throw quality strikes because it takes a while to get that command down. And that's the biggest difference. So if you can't throw quality strikes in their minor leagues, you're going to get the ball hit very, very hard, and you're going to have high batting average of balls in play. That's why you want to look, and that's why in my write-ups on Prospect 361, I do put the BABIN in there. Don't look at that and say, oh, well, he's going to correct. It's really out there. You want to see a high batting average of balls in play from hitters as they're going through their career. So DJ Peterson's, it's been tough. I don't own him in any dynasty league, and that's for a reason. I think he's a step down from Hunter Renfro, but with all the promotions, DJ Peterson makes the top 50. Is he a top 50 prospect? Probably at the end of the year, no. He's a top 100 prospect, maybe a top 75 prospect. But I think as we see, you know, the class coming in from this June, you're going to see DJ Peterson in particular drop. Jeff Hoffman comes in at number 47. Jeff Hoffman could have been the number one pick last year if it weren't for having to have Tommy John surgery. Three above average, if not plus, pitches. Obviously, there's risk because he's had Tommy John surgery. I have not seen him since he's been back, but all reports that I'm hearing of people who have seen him firsthand say command isn't there yet, the control isn't quite there yet, but the stuff is really returning very, very quickly. This could be a guy that's a high number two, potentially more, somebody that you definitely want to monitor and try to acquire on your teams. Jonathan Gray. Jonathan Gray is an enigma. There are so many warning flags about Jonathan Gray. They're obvious. He really came out of somewhat nowhere and wasn't really well thought of before being drafted in 2013, I think as the number three overall player by the Rockies. And a lot of people thought, well, gee, why did the Cubs not take him? Well, they wanted to draft Chris Bryant, and they kind of understood that. But John Gray was a guy that, you know, in his freshman and sophomore year was an okay pitcher, and all of a sudden his velocity ticked up, he got stronger, he went high in the draft, and everybody thought that the Rockies got themselves a stud, and he pitched pretty well that first year. But last year the stuff took a step back, and this year it's really taken a step back. He's pitched better of late. He does have a really good slider. Changeup is emerging. I think that'll be an above average pitch long term. But it's the fastball that's a little flat, and the fastball is exposed. And he does pitch up in the zone because he can throw 95, 96 miles an hour. But you look at every statistic out there, he is a fly ball pitcher. So you take a guy whose stuff is backed up a little bit from college, you put him in Coors Field, and you say that he's a fly ball pitcher, and it's a little concerning. And then you take a look at what he's done this year. And, you know, he's plus five ERA for most of the year. Again, it's come down a little bit of late. Lots of red flags out there. But I still like the guy because you still have to say that overall he's probably a top 50 prospect. He's one of the better pitching prospects. But from a fantasy standpoint, the fact that he's pitching in Coors Field and he has all those other red flags, you're looking at a guy that's probably going to post a 3.75 to 4 ERA, and probably he's probably going to not walk a lot of guys, but the ERA is going to be inflated. I think he'll strike out 6 to 7 per nine. I think he'll be a good pitcher. I don't think he's going to be a great pitcher. I think he's your classic number three starter in the major leagues and probably a number four, number five pitcher on your fantasy team. So just bear that in mind. Number five is Clint Coulter, who's used to be a catcher with the Milwaukee Brewers. So the Milwaukee Brewers already have two guys. They also get Orlando Arcia up towards the top. Clint Coulter can flat out hit the ball. And I'm glad that the Milwaukee Brewers moved him to the outfield because I think he'll fly up to the major leagues. And again, as the Brewers start to reimagine that team at the major league level, I think you put Michael Reed and Coulter out there and you're going to have two really nice, young, team-controlled outfielders that have a chance to be very, very good. I do comment that he does have a hitch in his swing. I do worry about that a little bit, but heck, you can worry about everything on every player, maybe except for Carlos Correa and Chris Bryant in the minor leagues. Andrew Heaney, which pitched a great game for the Angels today, I think with six innings, maybe one run or no runs. I have no idea why he's not been starting already for the Angels. I know they've got Hector Santiago and CJ Wilson, and they've been pitching fine, but they got to find a place for Andrew Heaney because he's done everything he can do in the minor leagues. It's not been a really great PCL experience for him, but it's tough pitching in the PCL. So I like him a lot. This is not a guy, unfortunately, I would have told you if I'd had this podcast yesterday, to go out and try to pick him up, try to buy low on him. It might be a little bit more difficult after tonight's game, but I do think Andrew Heaney is going to be a solid mid-rotation starter, kind of along the lines of Jonathan Gray. Matt Wisler's already up. He's number 43. He won't duplicate what he did, I don't believe, his first outing, which was remarkable. Eight innings, one run maybe. Didn't strike out many players. And it's interesting. He is not a strikeout pitcher. He's got really good stuff, control stuff. He's good control. He's not a command and control pitcher by any stretch of the imagination. Just pitches more to contact. So from a fantasy standpoint, he'll take a bit of a hit, but good pitcher. Nick Williams is a guy who's really taken a step up this year, outfielder with your Texas Rangers. He's a free swinger, plain and simple. He's been trying to take more pitches, and he's doing that. When I wrote it up, it was 24 times and 229 at-bats, which is actually pretty good. So that's about a 9% plate appearance, walks over plate appearances. That's not bad. And if he can add that to his ability to make just really good contact and hard contact, it's going to be a really good baseball player and a guy that you might actually see later this year, if not early next year, in the outfield for Texas. Nomar Mazar is probably coming up before him. Nah, probably not. I would think Nick Williams maybe gets up before him. But he's got all the makings of a 300 hitter, potentially 15 home runs, 12 to 15 stolen bases. A really, really nice player, and it's been all about the approach, and it looks like he's been improving on that. Coming in at number 40 is another disappointing player, and that is Alex Jackson, outfielder with the Seattle Mariners. Has had a horrible year after coming out as probably the best high school hitter last year in the draft, batting 157 after 28 games in the Midwest League. It's cold in the Midwest League, and maybe he just hasn't adjusted well. He's a better player than that. I know if you own him, you're probably wanting to kill yourself or cut him or do something. Don't do it yet. It's too young. There's too much upside there to give up on the player. Let's see what he does in the second half. And again, if you're in a dynasty league with 15, 20 minor league slots, I'd be going out and trying to acquire Alex Jackson because I'm telling you, people know what he's batting, and they're getting frustrated with him. So try to unlodge him. You know what the heck? When you're playing dynasty leagues, you got to have high-end players. You're not going to win your league long-term by having middle-of-the-road players or minor league prospects. You've got to have some high-end studs, and I still think Alex Jackson is, and you got to take a gamble on those guys sometimes. And if he doesn't turn out to be a top 50 prospect long-term and is just a fourth outfielder, you still want to make that investment, particularly when you can get them on maybe 75 cents on the dollar. Got a note on my site. Why isn't Luis Severino a top 25 prospect? Because I think he's a reliever long-term. I've seen him pitch many times. He's got great stuff. He could be a dominant closer, but the body type, the delivery all screams reliever to me. I hope he comes up as a starter because I do have him picked up in a couple of redraft leagues, and the Yankees are trying to keep him a starter. But to me, I think long term he's a closer, and time will tell. I think the industry is somewhat split on that. There are as many people I've talked to who believes that he's a starter versus a reliever. I just wind up on the reliever camp. Tim Anderson is number 38, Chicago White Sox shortstop. He's doing really well as a 22-year-old. He's batting 321 stolen bases and 26 attempts. His big problem is much like Nick Williams. He swings at everything. So he's a very, very aggressive hitter. And you want your players to be aggressive, because if you're a passive hitter, it never ends well. That's usually strike one, strike two, and you're out. So you want them to be aggressive, but you also, you know, want them to find that right balance. And Tim Anderson has yet to find that, but there's athleticism there. He might eventually move to center field. But he deserves to be in this top 40. Robert Stevenson is, again, a mystery to me still. He's got really good stuff. It just hasn't come together statistically for him. I do think eventually it will, and I think he has a chance to be a solid number two starter, a guy that you definitely don't want to give up on. Aaron Nola, we've talked about a lot on our Sunday night show. He's just about ready. I think after Carlos Rodon, he was probably the most ready of the college pitchers coming out last year. And I think he's going to be a really, really good pitcher. He doesn't have the same upside as a Jonathan Gray who's behind him, but the floor is very, very high. You can pretty much count on this guy is going to be a major league starter. He's going to be very good. Once the Phillies get better, which they will, he'll win some games for you, because he's going to be one of those inning leaders guy that, typical seven innings, three runs kind of guy with six or seven strikeouts. And that's just the kind of player he's been. He's not going to be a dominant starter, but he'll be very, very good. Ramiel Tapia is next, outfielder with the Colorado Rockies. He's athletic. The swing, a lot of people love the swing. I've seen it. I mean, he's a free swinger, and he loves to swing the pole. 35 strikeouts, seven walks. I think, and it's a little bit of a bizarre swing as well. It reminded me when I first saw Jean Segura, or for you people that rather talk Americanized, it's Gene Segura. When I first saw Segura, I saw this kind of muscular body. I saw a guy with a huge wide stance. And it's funny, when the first time I saw Tapia, I saw the same crazy wide stance, but I saw a much bigger guy, and a guy that should hit 20 home runs. And he ain't going to hit 20 home runs with his feet spread out that far. I mean, it's crazy. So I don't like the stance at all. I haven't heard that he's changed it this year. I have not seen him this year. I probably will, because, again, he's out in the California League, so I'll probably get a chance to see him at some point. But unless he changes that swing, I don't think the power is going to be there, and I think that will always hurt his ceiling if he doesn't start to hit with some power. Number 34 comes Jose Berrios. I think Jose Berrios is going to be up later this year. I think he'll come up with Miguel Sano. He's with the Twins. He could be the best pitcher on the Twins when he comes up. He's a solid number three starter, maybe a low number two. And when I say a mid-rotation starter, that's a top 40, 45 starter. Number two is probably a top 20 to 25 starter. So let's put him around 30. That's his ceiling. He's not a big guy, but he's got really good stuff, and he actually pitches pretty tall. So he does keep the ball, down in the bottom part of the zone. So I don't think he'll be too homer prone. And he throws strikes, and that's what you love. Jesse Winker is another kid that's had a tough, go so far of the year, but you just can't, you can't give up on him. The fact is, I wrote in here somewhere, I'm reading through the notes, but he's still striking out, walking as many times as he's striking out. And when you see somebody that's doing that in the upper minor leagues, it's going to be good once he starts to sting the ball a little bit. He's just going through an adjustment period. I thought Jesse Winker had a chance to come up this year. Probably not going to happen. Development process taking a little bit longer. Don't give up on Jesse Winker. One of the guys I really like is number 32, and that is Brett Phillips. And I did write a couple more sentences longer than everybody else. I've seen him play exclusively in the California League. I think I've seen him now five times. First time I saw him, he looked overwhelmed. That was, I think, his first or second game last year at Lancaster. But when I saw him this year, I mean, just hitting everything. It was just, he was comfortable. The balls, particularly in Lancaster, the ball literally flies out of that field, and the surface is like the moon, so it's hard as a rock. It's hard to get to gauge how good this guy really is. And I write that in the, in the write-up. He could be a first division outfielder. He could be your center fielder of the future in the Astros, or he could be a fourth outfielder. I don't know. I like everything about it. I love the energy that he plays with. When you see him, he's the guy that's running all over the field. He runs out absolutely every pitch. And it's funny, watching that AAA game last night, I was just aghast because I usually watch AA and down. And they just ran like major leaguers. I mean, they didn't run everything out. Guys in the lower minor leagues are running everything out. And Brett Phillips is running harder than most people are. I mean, this is a guy who's running out every at-bat. I think he's got some pop. He's starting to show that now. But again, you can't tell so much in Lancaster. The speed is there. He's just not a very good base stealer at the moment, so he definitely needs some help there. But this guy has 20-20 potential. I just don't know how real it is, and that's what we're going to find out. And I have to believe shortly after, well, the All-Star game just occurred this week in Rancho Cucamonga. I wish I could have gone, but I wasn't unable to do that. You could see him being promoted here in the next couple of weeks, and then we'll know. Because AA will be the real, test for him. Is he a sell high candidate? He might be. It might be a guy that's going to be in many top 50 lists coming out this year. And you might say, you know, I'm going to just sell high on him. If he becomes, a top 40 outfielder long term, that's okay. I got some money out of it, and that might be the thing to do, because there's as much downside risk as there is upside ceiling with Brett Phillips. Number 31 is Bradley Zimmer, who's the younger brother of Kyle Zimmer, who's a pitcher with Kansas City Royals, who's starting to come back from all kinds of ailments. I think the latest is a shoulder problem that he had, an impingement surgery over the offseason. I'm really rooting for Kyle Zimmer because this guy could be very, very good. But Bradley Zimmer is a safe player. He hits the ball well. He's an advanced college hitter. I think he's going to be very, very good. But probably a guy that you should definitely own on a fantasy team, but he's never going to be a top five round fantasy player. He'll be one of those real solid guys that you get as your second, third kind of outfielder off the board, probably more like a third outfielder off the board, 15, 18 home runs, maybe 20 home runs, 15, 18 stolen bases, maybe a few more stolen bases early in his career. Going to be a solid major leaguer, just not a star. Blake Snell, number 30. What's not to like about Blake Snell? He plays for the Rays, and you gotta hand it to the Rays. This guy can flat out pitch. I don't know what's in the water. I don't know what those guys do. They're really good minor league pitchers, and they come to the major leagues, and they take a step up. The command in particular gets much, much better. So they know how to train these pitchers, and what Blake Snell is doing in the minor leagues, it's a lot for them to play around with. The problem is, and no telling when he's going to be up. He could spend the rest of this year in AA and then most of next year in AAA. I think he'll be up sometime midseason next year. And I think Blake Snell is a guy that, again, what you're seeing happening in Tampa Bay, you have to be owning most, if not all, high-end pitchers in that organization, even mid-rotation pitchers there, because I think it has a chance to be very, very special. Albies is next. Osano Albies, shortstop with Atlanta. I have no idea where he plays long term. The kid can really hit. He's got some speed. I think he's a natural shortstop. And Atlanta is collecting players. And he's another guy that I think has a chance to be very, very good. Jose De Leon makes it at number 28. I've seen him pitch. He's very, very good. Another email I got or post I got is, why isn't Jose De Leon a top 25? Well, he's at 28. He's very good. He's going to be good. Righty, to kind of go along with the lefty that the that's out there with Julio Urias. And I think going to make a real dynamite combination. Rounding out this top bottom half of the 25 is 26 is Trey Turner, 27 Josh Bell. There's been a lot of talk about Trey Turner. He's going to be, I think, your starting shortstop with the Washington Nationals next year. I think he's nearly ready. The glove is good. He's got speed, not a ton of power. If he tries to hit with power, he's going to strike out a lot. So he's done that in college before. As long as he keeps short to the ball, tries to be a contact hitter, lets his wheels do it, he's going to be a really good player and a really good fantasy player. Josh Bell, do not sleep on Josh Bell. I know the home run power has not been there, but the guy can flat out hit. He's got a great approach, and he is a big, strong cat. Eventually, he's going to hit home runs. And I think it's a 20 home run, middle of the order bat with a chance to hit 280 to 300. I'm pretty much all in on Josh Bell, and I think you should be too. In my top 25, a lot of name players here. Oh boy, I'm looking at number 24. It looks like a typo there. It says Talion 24, Jameson Talion. That's pretty weird. Number 25 is Jose Peraza. He could be up sometime this year. Tons and tons of speed. Looks like the Braves are moving him to the outfield. Jace Peterson's playing well at second base. What's not to like about Jose Peraza? I think he's going to be a really good fantasy player, kind of in that guise of a Ben Revere, Juan Pierre type of somewhat of a two-category batting average and stolen base kind of guy, and you hope if he hits at the top of the lineup, runs produce. Jameson Taillon, I believe, has not yet made his non-extended spring training debut. Everything I'm hearing, I've talked to scouts that have seen them that says, boy, the stuff looks like it's pretty much all the way back. There's a lot of encouragement coming out of Jameson Taillon. And I know he's been frustrated. If you read his Twitter feed, he wants to get out there and pitch and pitch for a box score. The Pirates are being extremely careful with this kid. Remember, I mean, they took him in the Manny Machado draft. And that was the Garrett Cole draft as well. Was that 2010? So he was a really high draft pick, and they're gonna treat him with kid gloves as they kind of go through this process. Nomar Mazzara with the outfielder with the Texas Rangers. The power has actually taken a bit of a step back this year, but you know he's working on his approach. And remember, the minor leagues is about development, and you can't always read the stat lines. If you see a guy that's not producing power and you think he should be, that's when you need to do some more research. You need to look for scouting reports. Post out at me on the boards, and I'll tell you what I'm hearing. Nomar Mazzara is going to hit. He's going to have a ton of power. He's going to be a really good major league baseball player. That's the Rangers. You know, so Adrian Beltre comes back, and of course, did they demote Joey Gallo? Nope. To left field he goes, which is, I think, was always, if he played well, where he would go. I thought he wouldn't play as well as he has and be demoted, but he got the last laugh on me. Nomar Mazzara is your right fielder counterbalance to that, and I don't know if it'll happen this year, but I think it could happen next year. Coming in number 22 is Steven Matz. Oh my God, have we talked about Steven Matz a lot? He's got to be up soon. I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else he can do at Las Vegas. Maybe we should have a campaign for free Steven Matz because it'd be fun to see him up. And I have to believe he's going to be up in the next couple, 3 weeks. Raul Mondesi comes in at number 21. You know, it's a guy that I am getting a little bit concerned about. And I do make this write up because the Royals have been extremely aggressive promoting him. But the guy has not played well at any level. And he's only got one more level to go for the major league. So at some point, they're going to have to keep him at a level so that he can make better contact and really start to sting the ball. The defense looks like it's a little bit ahead of his offensive game. I think there's going to be significant power, 20 home run power at the shortstop position. A guy that the swing looks all good. So he's a scouting person's dream. It's just not a stat person's dream yet. And at some point, they're going to have to collect up together. And I think you got to have a lot of patience with Raul Mondesi. Rafael Devers comes in at number 20, and I got a chance to see him and a bunch of other players at Greenville. And unfortunately, I thought I was going to be able to catch two games. I was only able to catch one game, which is hard to really scout in just one game. But Lakewood is, for those of you who don't know, is on the Jersey side down the shore. It's miserable driving down there from northern New Jersey. It's just on a Saturday and a Sunday, the traffic is horrendous. I can't even begin to tell you how bad it is. But I had a chance to see him. I just need to see Yohan Makata, Michael Chavis, Javier Guerrier. And I saw him, first of all, during batting practice, which was spectacular. Really, really good batting practice. Yohan Makata is a beautiful looking human being. I mean, this guy's got muscles on top of muscles, kind of that Yasiel Puig look. Very, very impressive. But when he got into the game, he couldn't hit. I mean, he was swinging and missing at everything. He didn't strike out at all, but it was weak grounders that he was hitting. But in batting practice, he looked good. He was stinging the ball all over the place. Rafael Devers, I got to tell you, if I'm being honest, I love the player. I love what he's able to do. I don't like the body type. It's a little dumpy to me. You know, a guy that I think is going to put on weight, and I don't think he'll stay third base long term. I think he moves to first base, and I think he'll be a little heavy set once it's all said and done. So whatever little speed he has, I don't think it'll stay long term. But the guy's a chance to hit 30 home runs. So as a fantasy player, we don't really care what he looks like. We care that he has production. And I think there's going to be significant power there. Michael Chavis looked completely overwhelmed. He was afraid to swing. He was very tentative at the plate. I think he was 0 for 2, but I think it was two walks there. I was disappointed in what I saw with Michael Chavis. I was actually disappointed in the batting practice. And it was one of my guys, I wrote an article last year, guys who can really hit. I didn't see it, so I was disappointed. So in summary, I love Devers. I love Yohan Makata. But Yohan Makata worried me in-game. I thought there was a lot of weak hits, weak contact. And I thought he struggled a little bit with off-speed pitches. Rafael Devers didn't like the body type, but the dude's going to hit 30 home runs. Lock it in. That guy's going to be a stud. And I might even have him a little low at 30. Let's see. Let's try to finish this up in the next two or three minutes. Orlando Arcia. I talked about him a lot. I think he's one of the best shortstop prospects in the minor leagues. High floor, tremendous contact, was at 91%. He's not going to be a home run hitter. It's a level swing. It's a double swing. I think there's chance for 5 to 10 home runs, 8 to 10 home runs, something like that. Nice stolen bases. Kind of in the line of Francisco Lindor, more like a Francisco Lindor, not as good of a defensive player, but not nearly like a Carlos Correa, but a really nice serviceable shortstop in the major leagues. Manny Margot, what more can you say about Manny Margot? I saw him a couple of weeks ago down in Wilmington. He's just been promoted to AA. I know he didn't make the All-Star team. I just think this guy is going to be a stud. I think he's got all the tools. He's got tremendous speed, makes great contact. More of a line drive hitter now, so I think I would ratchet back at what I might have said, 8 to 10 home runs. Yeah, I did ratchet it back at this write-up. That's probably what I would put at his ceiling. I don't think he's a 15 home run guy. He's got a really small body, really small lower half as well. It's like spindly legs, I guess is the right way to put it. Aaron Judge at 17, I talked about the Alex Reyes. Oh my gosh, Alex Reyes, writing a pitcher with the St. Louis Cardinals. He could be special. A tremendous fastball-curveball combination. Raw as raw can be, struggles throwing strikes. But boy, there's probably not a guy with better stuff in the minor leagues. Maybe Lucas Giolito. There's some question whether he's got better raw stuff than Lucas Giolito. This guy, once he learns how to pitch, has a chance to be a number one. Let me repeat that. Once he learns how to pitch, he has a chance to be a number one. Michael Conforto, I guess with him and Kyle Schwarber, the two best hitters coming out of college last year, Conforto's done nothing but hit. He's been promoted to AA, very small sample size, almost a 13 OPS on top of that. In the lower minors, he was well advanced for that. I think the next probably 2 months will really show the kind of player he's going to be, which I think is a really good player with a 20 home run power, 300 batting average kind of guy. It's a kid that's really going to hit. Austin Meadows and David Dahl out of the same draft class, really good players, both outfielders. I think Austin Meadows is going to be more of a line drive hitter. I don't know exactly how many home runs he's going to have, but you know, he's more of a doubles power. David Dahl, I think, has a chance to be a superstar. I think the power speed kind of combination. He's out for a while as he is recovering from a splenectomy. But I think once he's fully recovered, I think you're going to see him really turn it on. He could play in the Arizona Fall League and then be targeted maybe for a late season call up next year. Daniel Norris, what more can we say about that? I know I've said he's the best left-hander, has a chance to be the best left-hander in the game. Maybe overkicked my coverage there, but I like Danny Norris a lot. I think he'll be back up at some point. Francisco Lindor is up already. Dylan Bundy, if he can stay healthy, has a chance to be an excellent pitcher. But I got to tell you, it's getting a little worrisome how much he's been injured now with tendonitis in his shoulder, going back to see Dr. James Andrews. Those are words you never want to hear. Kyle Schwarber, we saw him up. We saw what he can do. Boy, what a talent. Tyler Glasnow, number 8. I got to tell you, I think Alex Reyes has a little bit more upside than Tyler Glasnow, but they're very similar pitchers. Long and lanky, really, really nasty stuff with Glasnow. It's all going to be about his ability to throw strikes, and I think it's going to be soon that he learns to better control that strike zone. He struggled coming back from an ankle injury, did not pitch well at his start coming back, but give him time. I think it's going to be very, very good. Miguel Sano, we've talked about him a ton. Massive raw power, not quite a Joey Gallo, Giancarlo Stanton, but right behind those guys. I think you're going to see him very, very soon. Julio Urias, number 6, left-handed pitcher, the best left-handed pitcher in the minor leagues right now. Again, all due respect to Daniel Norris and my comment there. Young kid, and I saw him pitch last year on his 19th birthday. There is a chance that he could be up this year. He's only 5'11". You do worry. Will he be able to maintain the rigor of the major leagues in 200 innings? But he's a lefty, and smaller lefties have made it more often than smaller righties. I'll just say that, and I think he has a chance to be special. J.P. Crawford, number 5. J.P. Crawford, I mean, if we now take a look, I mean, J.P. Crawford's a top 5 prospect, and I think I have Byron Buxton and Byron Buxton. This, he moves up to number 4. Ruben J. Amar gets a lot of criticism, but man, J.P. Crawford could be a very, very good player, kind of in the mold. I don't know if we want to put the upside at this, but kind of in the mold of Carlos Correa, that type of explosive type of player. Yoan Moncada might be a surprise for most of you. I put him number 4. Look at a stat line, and I'm worried. I've seen the player now firsthand. Boy, he looks the part. I'll just say that. Lucas Giolito, best pitcher in the minor leagues right now, followed by Glasnow, and probably very closely after that, Urias and Alex Reyes. Lucas Giolito, they're canning with kid gloves. I think you'll see the gloves come off next year, and he has a chance to be up in the major leagues next year. And of course, the number 1 prospect in the game now, because Byron Buxton is promoted, is Corey Seager. I've seen Corey Seager 3 times. I saw him in his first week of single A, totally overwhelmed. Saw him in the Arizona Fall League, totally overwhelmed. It's funny. Same thing with Byron Buxton. Every time I've seen Byron Buxton, he's not been very good. Buxton has struggled in the major leagues. Every time I saw Carlos Correa play, he was a stud, and he's been nothing but a stud. So sometime, maybe it just in the end, my lesson learned is I should just go with my gut as opposed to being influenced by the reputation of what the stat line say, et cetera. I think Corey Seager, boy, he looks the part. 6'4", 220-230 pounds. Really good batting practice session that he has. I mean, he looks, your eyes go over to this kid when he's out on the field. He's doing nothing but destroying the ball this year. Is he going to be up this year? I said no all the way through the year. I'm going to say yes now because I think the end is near for Jimmy Rollins. So for those of you that have stashed him on your teams for this year, congratulations. I think you will be rewarded very, very soon. That's it. We went way over. 50 minutes, but I did want to kind of go through my top 100, talk a little bit about last night's game in Scranton, and then a little bit of what I saw with the Greenville Red Sox. That's it. We will catch you guys on Sunday. Thanks for all your support. Thanks for all your feedback. And until then, have a good rest of the week and good luck with your fantasy teams.